Let's get in the Word, shall we? I am going to wrap this series up today on following God's pattern. I had a text right before the service started that came in from Jim and Jerry. They are out in Arizona, and they are there with Jim's sister, who had a pretty major surgery on her shoulder area. Anyway, she sent her blessings and love and said they're with us in spirit. So we praise God for that. Amen. I suspect they should be able to come home sometime this next week. Just needing for Joy to get to the point where she can begin to do some of the things she needs to do for herself and all that. So we praise God for that. I'm sorry that they're having to be away so long, but they are doing what they need to do. So praise God. Open up to James chapter 1. Title of the message today is Love is Important. And by the way, the website is being worked on. And we have switched it over to, and it will be going over today. I believe he was going to make that move to another server and revamp some things on the site. So it ought to be back up and doing what it's supposed to do soon. We've had just a plethora of issues go on with the site, and he looked, our webman, and webman our web expert, and he said it was not infected. The company was telling me the site was infected, and so he got in and checked. He said it's not infected. So anyway, we got off the server we were on. Little did I know, he didn't want me to be on that server, but he didn't have the heart to tell me, because we had hooked up on that years ago. And he said, the server you guys were on just was a problem. So anyway, obviously. So James chapter 1, let's go. Love is important. This is number 11 in the Follow God's Pattern series. So let's go. James chapter 1, verse number 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, what we've said all along in this series is that our lives are not defined by isolated events. But really, our lives are defined by the things that we do consistently over and over and over, repetitiously, redundantly, if you will, routinely, over and over. And those practices that we do daily, and our lives are built around that process. So we've been talking about making sure that process is God-ordained. The Lord wants to be able to be the one initiating the patterns in our life. So if all we do is think about the Lord once in a while, you're not going to be following His pattern. The pattern needs to be repetitious. And same things that we do in our lives as believers, just like in the natural. Y'all have a routine in the morning? Who has a routine in the morning? Does anybody? Come on, you sure do. If you don't, you just get up and one day you go to work. The next day you go to Tulsa to play. The next day you go over here and oh, I'll go to work the next day. How many of y'all feel like that sometimes? Yeah, well, right. You know, but really you have a routine. You get up, you get whatever you do in the morning, eat, drink, whatever it is, and you sit down. You should be doing some kind of devotion in the morning. Do that before the day gets going, before the day gets away on you, before the enemy has an opportunity to get in there. Yeah, you need to be ready by filling up your tank before you ever head out on the road. Praise God. Get some fuel in here. Get into the Word. First thing, you ought to have a daily reading. You ought to have daily time where you're fellowshipping with the Lord. Start your day that way. And I don't mean go in a little box and pull out a promise and read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. put it in there and go on with your day. That's not having a devotion. How many of y'all know that that's true? All right, need to spend some time in the Word, and there are a lot of good devotionals, good study things that you can use in your life. If you have a question on that, would like some examples, come and see me afterward. Every one of us are wanting to get to this place where verse number 4 brings it out. After patience has her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, you can get to the place in your life where desires are fulfilled and God meets needs, and you get to that place where you're in this position where you don't have all these wants and desires. You're perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, every one of us should want to get there. And some are trying to get there in ways not prescribed by the Word of God. You know, the old, the world is dog eat dog, and you got to do whatever you have to do to get ahead and compromise whatever you have to compromise to get ahead. Well, let me tell you something. What you compromise to keep, you'll end up losing. What you compromise in your life in regard to your principles, in regard to your faith or whatever else it may be in your life, you compromise that in order to obtain something. You may obtain it, but in compromising things, this will be very short-lived. It's kind of like this. The scripture speaks about enemies that dig a hole. You remember reading this in the book of Proverbs? It's there. It's in various places in the Word. But they dig a hole for a person to fall into. And what happens? They end up falling in the hole themselves. Kind of describes some stuff going on in our nation, doesn't it? You know, digging holes everywhere, trying to get people to fall into them, and they're falling in themselves. It's pretty stupid. I mean, it's not a good thing. And, I mean, you need to stand on the Word in your own personal life regarding that. The enemy tries to set you up. He can use people. He can use circumstances. He tries to set you up by digging a hole. Well, let me tell you something. You need to just keep your eye in the Word of God, your ear attuned to God's voice, doing what He tells you to do, listening to Him. Let Him lead and guide. Don't let circumstances dictate to you, because circumstances may tell you to go over here. And over here is an even bigger hole. So if you listen, the Lord says, no, I don't want you to respond to that. I want you to do this. Yeah, but they've got, I ought to call them, give them a piece of my mind. And the Lord says, pray for them. And you're going, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Pray for them. Yeah, well, the carnal thing is to want to give them a piece of your mind, right? Some people can't spare another piece. Amen. It's true. Look, up until this time, we have listed off 5 different components or elements of this pattern that the Lord has for our life. It started off with hearing the Word. Remember that? You need to hear the Word. Secondly, you need to speak the Word. Third, you need to renew your mind with the Word. This is something that you need to do every day. This is something that should be happening in your lives redundantly or over and over and over again. That's the pattern. Okay, so hear the Word, speak the Word, renew your mind with the Word. The fourth thing was do the Word. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer as well. The fifth one that we talked about last week was regarding prayer. And when you pray, you need to pray in line with the Word. But one of the elements that kind of has a sub part underneath it, when you pray, you can't walk in unforgiveness. And we talked about staying out of unforgiveness and how important it is in your prayer life when you're praying the Word that you recognize if you have aught against any, that you repent of that so that your prayers can be answered. Amen. So those are the 5. The 6th one that we're going to do today, and as I said, wrap this series up, is concerning love. Love is the 6th component. Think of it this way. Love is the river on which faith floats. Think of it that way. Galatians, was it 5, verse number 6? In fact, turn back there. I want to show you. You've got to see this, and you need to know this anyhow. Galatians chapter 5. So love is the river on which faith floats. And we're going to find that this component, this love, needs to be present in all of the other components that we discussed up until now. Look at verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision, this is Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. But faith, which works by love. You see that? Faith works by love. Faith works by love. A lot of Christians try to flip-flop that phrase. And I'll love you by faith. I don't like them, but I'll love them by faith. I do everything by faith, brother. And faith, remember, works by love, and you can't love by faith. That's putting the cart before the horse, isn't it? Come on, y'all, here'd you go home? We're here. You're looking right there. If faith works by love, think of it this way. Faith is energized by love. Love is behind it. Faith isn't behind love. Love is behind faith. You can think of it the way I just said that. Love is the river upon which faith floats. In order for it to get into a person's life, there has to be a channel of love for faith to go on. I'm amazed that people want to leave this component out because it's a very carnally pleasing one to leave out. I don't want to be nice to him. On Wednesday nights, I've been doing messages over the last few weeks on being nice to people. Imagine that. And I've had some reports from various ones in the church, you know, and believe in that. And then I get challenged in my love walk. So have I. Actually, over the last couple, 3 weeks, my love walk has been challenged many, many times. Not in my house, don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But various things, circumstances, situations. One came up the other day that I had to deal with. And when I first heard about it, my first response was, where's, you know, give me a belt. You know, let's. So how do you deal with stuff like that? When things come, somebody's trying to cheat you, somebody's spreading things about you, whatever it may be, you deal with it, you must deal with it in love as the foundation for whatever is going on. You've got to remember not to step out of love. Because if you step out of love, your faith immediately will not work. Yeah, but I don't want to love them. I want to go hit them. I want to give them a piece of my mind again. Faith works only by love. And if love is not there, your faith won't work. Now, love always involves giving. You realize that? There's a little saying or a little phrase, and this is the easiest way to differentiate between love and lust. Get this down if you don't know it. And if you do know it, write it down so you don't forget it. Love always gives. Love always gives. Lust always takes. Love always gives. Lust always takes. You know, you think about that. You think, well, I'm doing all the giving in this relationship. Well, if that's the case, you're given the love and the other person is just taking it from you. Guess what? He or she doesn't really love you. Lust is a prevalent, in case you haven't noticed. And the body of Christ needs to be on guard against that, because you can fall into that very same trap, because it takes more diligence to walk in love than it does to fall into lust. Well, that's good preaching, Pastor Dan. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. So love gives. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Think about it. Steal. Steal is another word for take. Lust takes. Love gives. So we need to be walking in love. One of the verses of scripture you need to see is in the book of Romans chapter 12. Just turn back a few pages to the left and go to Romans 12. I want to show you something here regarding love, because we're going to center in on these. There's two different channels in the way that love can manifest in our lives that we're going to focus on. Now, of course, there are more than that, I would assume, but we can kind of generalize, and you'll see it in a moment. Love. In chapter 12 of Romans, look at verse 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. You see that? That's a big word, dissimulation. It goes on, it says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. It needs to be without dissimulation. It's a Greek word that literally means it needs to be unfeigned. Unfeigned meaning not fake, not phony. I have been around people that can be very nice to you when they want something. You ever been around folk like that? You can just tell. Oh, you're sure looking good today. And I'm like, what do you want? You know, you've met people like that. That's phony love. Let your love not be the drippy, sweet, phony garbage that the world uses to manipulate. Ooh. So our love shouldn't be that overly flattering, say whatever you need to say to get the person to do what you want them to do. Man, that's not love any more than, it's just not. Because ultimately behind that attitude, that phoniness, is the desire to take something from you or get you to give something over willingly. So we recognize when love is phony. I'm always, you know, it's like you run into somebody, oh, and you know, you're just like, you don't know them that well. Well, how are you doing? Oh, dip, 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 dip. I'm like, can we just be normal here, you know? Yeah, hey, nice to see you, man, you know? Well, give me that sweet, phony, drippy, sloppy, agape, you know. I don't need that, man. That, it says, let it be without dissimulation. Well, not everybody shows their love the very same way. I understand some people are emotional. I know a guy, you come up and greet him, he'll start crying. Man, you are keeping Kleenex in business. You walk around with a Kleenex all day because you're constantly crying. Stop crying. There's nothing wrong. I shed a tear watching a lassie. Huh? Anybody in here ever get a little tear well up? You watch a show, you know, we'll be sitting there, we'll watch some of these stupid, I was going to say Walmart movies, they're not. They're Hallmark movies. You can probably get them at Walmart. But, you know, you're sitting there watching and you know, you feel a tenderness. Am I the only tender guy in here? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's you. That's you. No, 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 no. I know better than that, you guys. You all put on this tough exterior, but you sit and watch movies, and when nobody's looking, boy, your eyes are, oh, gee, hope my wife doesn't come in. Let her see that. She needs to see now and again that you can actually be tender. Ooh, boy, that spoke to somebody. Amen. Yeah, how do you do that? Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, showing tenderness and kindness, our Lord and Savior, who was the toughest man that ever walked, and listen to me, you talk about a tough man, he put all these boneheads out there trying to be so tough to shame. Jesus was the most tender, but Jesus was also the toughest. He was, as the shirt says, tougher than nails. How many men in here could be beaten where half their body's ripped off of their body? The skin, the muscles, you say, how can your body be ripped? Well, it can. The muscles are hanging off. You're ripped. You're bleeding to death as you stand there. And he opened not his mouth, the Bible said. Wow. Knowing that he could call on 12 legions of angels to get him out of there in an instant. And they could torch the place if they wanted to. And yet he stood there and he took it. And then they put that heavy cross on him and made him carry it. The other day I was out in my woods and I bent down to feed my bunny, yes. And I poked my head onto one of those stinking black locust branches, thorn about that long. Ow, man. And I'm bleeding down my head and I'm like, she's looking at me like, what'd you do? Oh, man, I got blood running everywhere, you know. It was over a week ago because the scar is not even there now. And I thought about when Jesus had that done to him. It wasn't a little prick. Oh, it was a put it on his head until it gouged through. Those things are sharp. Those thorns hurt. They might as well be a needle. I mean, it'll go right into you. Anybody want some branches? I've got some. I took a few of those and made a crown of thorns in the office. I picked that thing up one day and I pricked my finger and I bled. I'm like, are you kidding me? I know. And so when he had that placed on his head, it wasn't set on there gently. Oh, they did it with great disdain. Beaten to a pulp. Hebrew said his body didn't have the shape of a human being anymore when they were through with him. And then he had the strength to carry that cross. Yeah, well, he fell down and then they had to have the other man carry the cross for him. Yeah, well, I dare to say there were any people that could have withstood that satanic beating that took place and walk and carry that thing as far as he did. I mean, that executioner, those Roman soldiers were the ones that were being empowered by the enemy himself because he hated Jesus so much. He hated Jesus with a vehemence and beat him to a pulp, wanting the torture to go on, but he was stronger than they were. Finally, he fell down, the Bible said, and they called another man there. What was the man's name? Anybody remember? Simon. You carry the cross, picked it up, and the song talks about the blood running. That cross would have been covered in blood. And Jesus still managed to walk up to the hill where then they laid him down and nailed him to the cross. And then he still cries out with a loud voice, Father, forgive them. What kind of strength did that take? Jesus loved in the midst of the most horrific torture. I mean, you and I prick our finger with something and it hurts. Can you imagine having a spike driven through your wrists and now you're hanging by the weight of it, of your body, and it's pulling and your lungs are filling up with fluid and you can't breathe? Man. And he did it because he loved us. And all he asked for you and I to do
is to serve him, follow him. But if you choose not to serve him, he'll let you get away with that too. But he loved you so much that he did what he did. Now Jesus is the picture of love. Jesus is love personified. So when we talk about what would Jesus do, we say, what would love do, right? Because he is love. The Bible says God is love in the book of 1 John chapter 4. God is love. And when we look at Christ, how would Christ handle that situation? How would Christ deal with that? Well, the first thing you have to know, Johnny Swinger and I talked about this a lot in the past. And, you know, because Johnny brought all those bracelets, he and Sandy brought all those bracelets, the WWJD. And you know what I've said about that already. If you've been here for any period of time, I've probably said it again. What would Jesus do? You won't know what Jesus would do if you don't read that book. So a better phrase, Johnny said, well, how can we put that on a bracelet? Well, it'd be tough. What does the word say? That's what Jesus would do. It's what the word says he did. That's what we have to go by. What would love do? That's a good one. What would love do? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So, when we look at his example of God loved, so he gave, our lives ought to be based on this love walk. That's how we ought to go. That's how we ought to function every day. When we hear the word, we ought to be sure and hear some word regarding love. You're hearing it today. When you speak the word, you need to speak the word and do it in love. You should never scripture bash people. Use the word to hurt them. I'll speak a scripture and it'll just nail their hide to the wall. Oh, you are in love. Serious. No, you don't bash people with the Bible. Those Bible thumpers. Where's the Bible thumping? Right upside the head with the talk and the scripture. They're always throwing scripture at me. Have you ever been around people like that? They want a scripture bash. They memorize a bunch of scriptures and use them against you. That's not the intent of the Word of God. So our lives ought to be based on love. We should seek to help other people's needs be met. Now, again, that is totally opposite of what your flesh wants to do. The first channel that love flows down. Love flows through the channel of giving. We see that from John 3:16. God so loved that he gave. And for you and I, it's really the same way in our lives. We need to have an attitude that wants to give to people. Now, I didn't say just of your finances. That's not it. You need to learn to put people ahead of you. Jesus, others, and you. Right? Joy. You talk about having joy in your life is when you put Christ first, and Christ will always have you step out, reach out to other people. And you become more concerned with other people than you are yourself. But America, the world really, even the church, has become so me minded. It's all about us four no more. It's about me. It's about what me getting my needs met and never being concerned enough to step out and help somebody else. You need to be able to utilize and use your resources, whatever they may be. Most of us have so much. Come on. Most of us have so much. Maybe you're saying not in the finance area, but in stuff. Well, how could you help somebody with some of the stuff that you don't even use? There are ways. You know, we've got boxes, a box out here to give to the veterans who sacrificed themselves to go to war for this country. Well, let's make sure that we're doing something nice for them this Christmas. Amen? That's why it's there. Praise God. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, you know that as the love chapter. How many of y'all know that love wrote this book? Amen. And somebody said, well, now did love write the part where, you know, the devil did this, the devil did? Yes, love did write that.
It's given so that you can understand how to deal with stuff. The Bible says, it's in 1 Timothy, what, chapter 3, I believe, it's given by inspiration of God. It did not say that every act in the Bible was inspired by the Lord. Because not every act in the Bible was inspired by the Lord. Can you think of some acts in your life that were not inspired by the Lord? Some things that have happened? Some things you did, some things you said, some things that were said to you that were not inspired by the Lord? Well, sure you can. The Bible records those things for our admonition and for our instruction in righteousness. It records the time David committed adultery. Why? Not because it was a good thing, not because God was behind it, not because God wanted it to happen. It records it so you and I can learn from it how to avoid it. Boy, come on, let me hear an amen. And what you should do at bath time, you shouldn't be looking out your window to see somebody taking a bath. Now, praise God that you know, we don't have people bathing out on their back patios. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that's recorded so you can learn from it. Judas lying and doing the stuff he did is recorded. God didn't inspire that act. God didn't inspire Goliath to come against the children of Israel like he did. God didn't inspire that. But the recording of it was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I want them to know this. I want people to know this so that they can learn from the mistakes others have made and not repeat them. Amen. So it's there for your instruction. Okay? So don't say it's that every act in the Bible was inspired by the Lord, because it wasn't. Some were inspired by the devil himself. Ooh. But the writing of it, the giving of it to you and I so we can read it, was inspired by the Lord. Amen. That clear? I think it is. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 1. It reads this way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So love needs to be the motivation behind your faith, behind you growing to be a strong man or woman of faith. Love needs to be the motivation every time you give to somebody, or give in the offering here, or give to somebody over here, or do this for that person. Or love should be the motivation. The world many times, like I said to you before, will do things only looking for something in return. I did that for you, now you owe me. That's interesting about God. God never says, you owe me. Have you noticed that? I mean, how could you pay or repay the debt that you owed? We talked about the man the other day that owed the huge debt. That was last Sunday, wasn't it? And how this man owed this in Matthew 18, this huge debt. There's no way he could repay it, and he threw himself down at the mercy of his Lord, the king. And the king, he was in jail at the time because he couldn't pay this thing. It was millions and millions of dollars. How many years' salary? I mean, 100, what'd you say? Serious, 200,000 years of wage? I'm like, what'd you do? How'd you go in debt that big? You know, how? What did you? You say you went to buy the world? I mean, come on, man. But it's an astronomical debt that there's no way that he could repay. He's in prison. He asked for mercy, and the king gives him mercy and lets him go off of the debt and sets him free. And then he turns around and finds somebody that owes him a very small amount of money. Where's that $15 you owe me? I want it. Well, I can't pay. I can't. You're going to jail. And that's what believers have done. She said this to me. I'm not going to forget it. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to forgive her. You don't know what he said to me. You don't know what he did. Little debts.
See, look at me. Little debts. See those little? You've been forgiven of a debt that far surpasses the height of the sky. And you're holding that? Get over your feelings. Start learning to lead and be led and live your life by the Spirit of God in love. Have I always wanted to forgive everybody that's ever done anything to me or said anything to me? No. But then all I have to do is think about that for a minute. And think that, see, if I'm not in love, my faith will not work. Okay, how important is this staying healthy versus getting even? Come on. Let the Lord deal with it. Now, I know every one of us have had instances. Some of you have told me about things in your lives. I'm not picking on any one person. I'm picking on all of you. All right. Now we're all in the same boat. I'm picking on me, too. We have to constantly go back and remember these things. Don't hand me this. You don't know what they did. I don't care what they did. In the respect of versus you having been forgiven of this huge debt, it doesn't matter what they did. That's a $15 debt versus the how many millions that you've been forgiven of. Let it go. Because the minute you hold on to something, all it does is just gives the enemy an opportunity to come right down your main street, start messing with you. There's not a one of us in here today, as young as some of you are, and as old as some of you are, that have not had opportunity to hold on forgiveness. So it's just not worth it. I don't like it any more than you do. But this attitude that we're going to prefer others before ourselves seems to run in the face of good sense. How is this sensible? What's amazing to me, when you put other people's needs ahead of your own, how your needs begin to shrink. Have you ever met somebody that, you know, you previously were thinking you had it so hard, and then you met somebody that really had it hard? It's kind of like the person that's complaining because they only have 10 pairs of shoes. I need a new pair of shoes. And then you meet somebody that doesn't have any feet, and you're going, wow. Or you complain because your house is only 2,000 square feet. Till you go someplace and you see somebody living in a little cardboard shack. And then you're going, I've got a palace. Yeah, but so-and-so has so-and-so. We got to stop thinking like that. We've got to keep our perspective. And love always will seek the good of others over itself. For God so loved that he gave to a world, he had no guarantee anybody would even accept Jesus. He gave his only son. I have one child. Ann and I have one child, and that's my only son. Would I give him up for a brutal beating and torture and execution for a bunch of people that they don't give a rip? They may or may not. That love goes so much deeper than what you and I are walking in. And when you start thinking it along the lines of one of your children, and it's not like if you had six, Mama, you could give up the youngest one. Or the oldest one. God forbid, the number five. He was six, I was five, okay, so you know. Or that, you know, give up two of the girls because two girls, one boy is worth two girls, you know what I'm saying. Are you serious? Are you serious? You wouldn't give up any of them. You wouldn't want to give your dog up for that, for crying out loud. My precious little dog. Examine your motives for what you're doing today. We need to move it. I've got to get through this because we're not coming back with this next week. Len and Kathy are going to be here, and I want to finish this thing up. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So you and I are supposed to be those who have a motive of love. We're supposed to be motivated by love. We're supposed to do what we do out of love. Amen? Now, look at verse number 28. Remember, Jesus came to serve, did he not? Yes, he did. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Now, are you working? Just so you and your family can get ahead? You know, somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that the American dream? Isn't that? Well, there's nothing wrong with you wanting to supply for your family. The Bible says if you do not supply for your family, you're worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. Don't come at me about it. So if I'm working hard to support my family and do for my family, that's right and that's good. It just should not be the number one motivation in why you do what you do. Based on even just this particular verse of Scripture, one of the ways that you will notice and recognize in your life that as you stop living for yourself and your needs and begin living, I mean, you work so that you can provide a nice home, and I get that. And I admire that, and I say that's wonderful and praise God for that. But if your motivation is only there and never includes reaching out and helping other people, you're missing it. Because this verse of Scripture alone says that you become a thief, see, if you're not laboring, working with your hands, the thing that's good, so that you may have to give to him that needs. You should approach life this way. This is a higher way to live than the way most of us have been living. Is that we live our lives thinking, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. He wants me to remember other people. He doesn't want you putting those other people and all of their needs ahead of your own home. If I'm not dealing with the needs in my home and I'm trying to meet everybody else's needs, my home's going to break apart. So there is a balance here. If I'm not paying my bills, but I'm paying your bills, you're the one who's sitting pretty, and I'm the one who'll end up in debtor's prison. Debtor's prison? They have that? Used to, anyway. Now it's called bankruptcy court, right? Or just in a lot of trouble. So you can't do that. Okay? But there needs to be a heart that says, I want to work hard, serve the Lord, and when he tells me I should help somebody, I'm going to do it. Come on. This is the way that we need to approach this verse right here. And it may not be money. It may be going over and mowing somebody's grass for them. It may be offering a ride to somebody, take them, you know, to the store. I mean, just putting others ahead of yourself and stop being so selfish and me-minded. So love always travels down that channel in this area of giving. So you're going to have to weigh this out in your own life, okay? You're going to have to weigh it out in your own life of how you deal with this. You need to give your best effort. Now, you know, we live in a society that entitlements are there, right? We have it in America here, these entitlements. Entitlements were designed by the government to help people when they hit a crisis moment. Right? Is that true or not? That's true. It's not given. Entitlements are not given so that you live on those entitlements and never pursue or try to do anything else. There are people that have figured out a way that they can buy the system of entitlements, make more money than if they were working. Have you read any of those accounts? Have you seen any of those? There's a guy in the paper, he made like He was pulling down like 140 some odd thousand dollars. He was doing illegal stuff, but he was getting from this, he was getting that, he was doing this, fathering children all over the place and getting money for it. Didn't want to work, making more money than most hardworking Americans. Entitlements are fine, and I'm not saying that entitlements shouldn't be there. Entitlements should not be a way of life. Because if you're receiving from an entitlement, you're able-bodied, now you're a thief. If you're really not able to work and just living off of entitlements and just working the system, the Bible calls you a thief. I didn't say it, the Bible did. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to those that need. You say, well, then I'm becoming their entitlement. And I'm becoming the one who's, I'm not going to do this for you for the rest of your life. But if you need help, I'm going to help you. Right? Are you guys with me? Or are we just all dazed over today thinking about donuts or something else? No donuts. No, it's a ham sandwich. No, it's pizza. No, it's a steak. Okay, you guys are great. I love you. So these are, you know, this is something you and I need to take into our lives. Are you giving your best effort to live like that? You want to emulate Christ? That's the way Christ lived. Christ came to serve, not to be served, the Bible said. Ooh, boy. You were doing well till you said that, you know. Yeah. Okay, let's go and hit the second one quickly, and then we'll tie it all up. Love flows through interpersonal relationships, okay? So love flows through the channel of your giving, and love always needs to flow in our interpersonal relationships, right? Go down to verse 29 of Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Woo, talking about communication. Communicating with people is important. We need to talk, but we need to speak in love one to another. We need to show love one to another. We need to be godly one to another. Amen? That whole message about being nice to people is based in the Word of God. And out of the love of Jesus, you're supposed to be nice. You shouldn't set up people. You shouldn't try to use people. You shouldn't try to manipulate people. We kind of went down that road a little while ago about, you know, people being nice to you just so they can get something. Have you ever noticed how nice people can be to you when you give them something? I've had people, you know, in the restaurant that time when we were in the restaurant, I took this guy's ticket, paid for his meal, and then they told him, and he was almost mad at me. And then he was like, oh, okay. Well, didn't really say thank you. Didn't care. I didn't care if he did or not. I was just doing what the Lord said to do. But it's amazing when you give something to somebody, how sweet they can be to you. Just come on. Just life experience. How many of y'all can say that that's probably true, right? I don't know why I'm supposed to do this, but here's some money. The Lord told me to give you this. Well, yeah, they'll fight it, but if they're smart, they'll take it. Well, thank you. I always kind of recoil when you say, you know, and I shouldn't, because really, it's kind of like, well, the Lord told me to do it. And they go, yep, thank you. You could have delayed that just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my. So we can let, if you're not careful, even doing godly things, you can let the flesh get involved, where you expect a certain response, right? Come on. Verse 15, back up to verse 15. But speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You and I are supposed to speak the truth in love one to another. Don't twist the truth. Don't stretch the truth. Don't get to that place where you are constantly, boy, shading the truth to make yourself look better. That goes on in society all the time. all the time. People are constantly trying to do that. Let's go to Romans 12 one more time. We'll close it right here. So we're supposed to walk in love. Love should be part of the pattern that we walk out every day of our lives, right? Everything you do should be motivated by love. If it's motivated by love, then it's motivated by the Lord. And have an attitude that I want to help people. Oh, that's real nice. That's for some to do, but not all. Every person in the body of Christ should have an attitude they want to help people. You hear me? I didn't say hand them $1,000. If the Lord told you to do that, you do it. But I didn't say that it has to be monetary. Help people. Be kind. Be courteous. Reach out. What will that do? It'll open the door for you to be able to minister to them in some way other than through the means that you're in the beginning ministering to them. Romans 12, look at verse number 18. Here it is. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Somebody say, well, it's just not possible, Pastor Dan. It's just not possible for me to live peaceably with that person. He is a devil from hell. No, he really isn't. He might be acting, and the devil's not in hell. He's not even from hell. He's going to hell. Amen. And I've got news for you. You can't send the devil to hell. Ooh, boy. People say, I cast you, devil, into the pits of fiery hell. You can't do that. You cannot do that. If that were the case, we could have gotten rid of that clown a long time ago. No. And he doesn't have access in and out of hell. He doesn't wear an asbestos suit. And, you know, he doesn't go down there and bask in the flames. I'm going to get... No. When he goes there, it will be torture. And he won't be able to see either. Pitch dark. You can see your hand in front of your face in hell. Oh, my. And for what? Because I want to fulfill lusts in my life and I don't want to serve God? Because I want to live this way? What? The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. I'm going to live it up now because who knows what will be tomorrow. Wow. You talk about stupid. No foresight. When you think about eternity, you're going to, for the pleasure of sin, turn away from God and not live for Him? Are you serious? The devil has painted such a picture of the pleasures of sin. And what he doesn't show you is at the end there's death. And at the end there's torture. And everything else in life will be miserable if you keep walking that way. He tries to always make it look like this is the way to go, man. They still do beer commercials, don't they? I know they don't do cigarette commercials anymore because that had to stop. They do beer commercials, though. And they're always sitting around drinking, laughing. Oh, cheers, we're all doing fine. You don't see the guy in the corner puking. You don't see the guy over here who goes home and beats his wife up or goes out there and shoots somebody, or they get into an altercation outside the barn. You hear about it on the 10 o'clock news. Somebody shot somebody. They don't show you that. Why don't they do a beer commercial where they show the guy drinking his Bud and he's going, oh, why you got to look at my Bud? Hey, listen, I drank a lot of beer before I knew Jesus, so don't talk to me about it. I was a beer drinker. Some of you are looking at me, serious? Yeah. Am I proud of it? No. But don't talk to me about drinking alcohol. I drank plenty of it. I found out how stupid it was to do that. Once, I mean, the things that left. When I accepted Jesus, you know what left? First thing that left? Well, sin. I mean, I got born again, a new creation. But what left? The cuss. Stopped using those stupid little four-letter words. The want to go and medicate myself in some way. Never used drugs, but I guess alcohol is a drug, right? It's not narcotic in that sense, but it is a drug. And so I did that. Growing up in Milwaukee, beer's everywhere. I mean, just north of Milwaukee. It's everywhere. Liquor everywhere. Ask anybody that's lived up there. It's crazy. It's crazy. And when I got saved, all that desire went away. Did the devil ever tempt you again with it? Yeah. I just said, no, not going there, man. I see where that's leading. Why don't they have a beer commercial where they're all sitting around and now this guy suddenly, you see stupid sloppy drunk over here. Now he's getting real loud and he goes over here and picks a fight with a guy because he's attracted to his girlfriend. And he, of course, is going to defend her. And the fight happens and blood starts flying. And before you know it, the bouncers throw him out. They get out there. The guy goes to his car and grabs a pistol and comes up and shoots the other guy. Buy our product. Look what it'll get you. They don't want to show you that. You know, these whiskey commercials, I see it. Everybody's doing, you know, the whiskey. I mean, come on, man. You know what that's a, you know what it's counterfeit for? The peace of God. You don't get peace when you numb up. That's not peace. Everything stays the same. When the peace of God comes into your life, He'll give you answers on how to get out of that situation and reverse the thing that's going on. Not just put a Band-Aid on a broken leg. Well, amen, he's preaching to... As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 18, one more time. If it be possible, possible is a Greek word. That means to be able to do something. It comes from the word dunamis. It's dunatos. And what it's saying is you have the power on the inside of you to live peaceably with people. That's what it's saying. You can walk in love. You, as Tony Little would say, you can do it. How do I know Tony Little? Anyway, stand to your feet. Tony Little was the guy that had the ab blaster, whatever the thing was. We bought one of those one time. I'm telling you, that thing worked. You put your feet in these two little things, had like a rubber loop, and you put your feet in there and had a strap and then a little T-bar, and it went over your thighs like this, and you laid down on your back and moved your knees up so that you're laying on your back with your knees kind of up like that. And that locked your legs in place, and when you did crunches, you don't move. I still have it. Yeah, it's a good one. You want to try it? Tony Little, you can do it. I had this video and I put that on this guy. Gee whiz. That was right around the time that guy that there was a Oriental guy coming on. You want to make a lot of money? That was one of the commercials. And I'm like, yeah. Buy my program. Yeah, okay, right. Okay. Anyway, come on, bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you this day. Father, that you have a pattern for us to walk by, to live by. We're going to hear the word. We're going to speak the word. We're going to renew our minds with the word. We're going to do the word. We're going to pray the word. And we're going to walk in love doing it. I thank you, Father, for that pattern repeating itself in our lives daily. Letting patience, redundancy have its perfect ergon, its perfect pattern. When your faith is tried, this pattern kicks in and you hear more word. You're going to speak the word. You're going to continue in love, even though your faith's being tried. You're going to be doer of the word, even though your faith's being tried. You're not going to attribute it to God. You're going to know who's the source of the problem, and you're going to attack it with the word. You're going to stay constant, consistent, following God's pattern. Thank you, Father, for that. We praise you and bless you for that this day. And together we do it. In Jesus' name. Come on, if y'all can agree, say amen.